As a composer, you deal with many different styles of music. How do you choose the style you're going to compose in, and what do you do to prepare for that composing in that style?
I don't choose anything. It's the sounds themselves that dictate, where the piece of music's going to go. We have such a library of sounds now with the new technology that's available to us, and I find it's such a nuance that brings forth its own historical language and its own historical, environment. And I don't like to make soup, with the things. And so, some people can say, "Oh, but there's a kind of plagiarism in this work." That is an untrue comment because, the work that we do is a contemporary understanding of how we are exposed to this language, history, culture, and it is our response to it. It's not a plagiarization. It's not to go and rob the graves of, the ancients to bring some magic or some soul to our work. It's quite the contrary. It's to celebrate and keep alive. You don't even keep alive. It's not an exercise to keep alive. These things grow in your heart, so it's only to bring them into the light and fresh air in a contemporary form, I have no interest in following the patterns of, mainstream music. It's not interesting to me, but I do believe that there is a certain pattern in the natural organic of creation that echoes throughout. I don't believe there's anything that is really original, and I believe that we speak in a familiar language, whether it is a practical language or whether it is an abstract language. I can do a piece of work and see something a little in within the abstract, quite similar, that someone made at the same time. Maybe 10 years later, you look back and you see, and people say, "Oh, but it's, they're copying this and that." I don't believe that. I believe that it's a natural growth that, we become familiar with things in the organic of creation being something abstract and something intuitive rather than this onslaught of, material marketing and commerciality, that we still survive, that there is still a healthy body that is able to communicate, that exists outside of that. And they're constant. If that wasn't there, they wouldn't be trying to buy in to what you're doing and finding these little people like me from around the globe and bringing them to play a part in some, somewhat rather large concept, which, ultimately is going to be presented as the biggest scenario or the most visual, scenario, in at that present time, because there's so much work happening that people don't see, and there's very important work that's overlooked because of the kind of onslaught of mainstream, movies and stuff.
Right.
People don't even realize they're there, and there's a whole genre of films for the last 40 years that, thankfully, haven't been overexposed, and they're still the treasures that we have to look under stones for. I think sometimes that's important too.
So how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote 10 years ago?
How would it differ? Gosh, I don't know. I think you learn to relax a little more within the work. Maybe the technology has lent itself towards, being able to go further with the work than, you could have before. But sometimes I think, regardless of how much complexity we have, we still arrive, in order to convince ourselves that something is worthwhile, we need to arrive at the soul fabric that we see to be absolute within the work. Regardless of whether you use a bongo and a, a Yang Chin in order to finish a piece, or you use an orchestra, you still, the line must remain unbroken within the work. I don't know if there's much difference, really, because that's the thing that is the discipline in this work. It's not how impressive can we be. It's whether we can be honest. It doesn't matter how bad at whatever you do you think you are, and I say this to the public really to encourage them, it doesn't matter. You can sit there and you can beat yourself up telling yourself what a moron you are, how stupid you are, how totally limited and talentless you are. But trust me, you can put two notes together, and if you put care into them, then they will move someone. Don't think that you have to be trained or complicated or, you know, impressive to be touching, you know. And music is touching. Music must touch you. You know, the wonderful thing about music is that it helps us to have moments of repose where we can look inside ourselves and rest and dream and remember and put together the things in our lives of value into some place of order and understanding and peace. So I try to encourage people not to, because I know with music it's a very difficult path, and it's any kind of art form, you know, is a difficult path because it's humiliating, you know. And that's why when we look at contemporary artists and popular artists and we see them revealed to us as such ego-based and material and very, very arrogant and very self-assured and all of these things, this is not the individual. This is a marketing device in order to seduce, you know, the young into spending money. You understand? Mm-hmm. The individual is as fragile as we are. And the individual is not confident and is suffering humility and loneliness and hours that we can't even imagine how unbearable they are, you know. But this is of no consequence when it comes to the machinery of making money.
Right.
These things are not considered. And, you know, I'm constantly trying to remind people, you know, especially young people that are saying to me, oh, but it's all crap, it's all this pop stuff, this person is a mercenary, this person is this, this person has been manipulated, this person is not responsible for what's taking place. They have become a part of the criteria and probably signed a couple, you know, a piece of paper that mm-hmm. they can't get out of. And believe me, I've done that. I know what that feels like. But, you know, well, you know, just to go on to that note, you know, if ever, don't sign pieces of paper. And if you do, make sure you have complete artistic control. And don't do anything, you know, like that without seeing a lawyer first, because those contracts are designed to destroy you.
Wow.
There's no such thing as a fair contract. Mm-hmm. They're designed to destroy you. You must have protection from those things. And the other thing I say to the public to encourage them, don't, even though I say be careful of these corporate things, don't stop trusting the individual. You know, always trust the individual, even if they let you down. Because if we stop trusting each other in life, then we've really sold our souls to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Because we no longer believe that it's possible to find a conscience in the other. And when we work with things like art and music, it's extremely important to understand soul fabric. And if we don't appeal to the interior life of the person or the higher self with our work, who are we communicating to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we certainly, our beautiful language is certainly not, you know, evolving to accommodate those whose hearts take refuge in their wallets. These
yes.
things are here to keep us sane.
Mm-hmm.
And our work is to inspire each other and keep each other healthy.
Okay, so is there any of your work that you are particularly proud of?
I get really scared when people put my work on, especially if I'm there or if I'm walking up the drive and I can hear it. I have a little breakdown. But, you know, I think that's probably a normal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really careful not to give my friends copies of my music and stuff like that, you know. And I like the fact that my friends, you know, my friends, I don't have that many of them, but the people that I know don't really have any interest at all in my work. And I trust them more if they don't, you know. Mm-hmm. I've never felt completely comfortable when, you know, people have come to me because of the work. I'd rather people, I became friends with someone because, you know, they like my cooking or something. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I just feel safer. But, you know, I think there's the trouble with the individual, with the human being, we're quite fragile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're quite fragile. And, you know, the fact that we try very hard to strengthen and encourage one another, we must go to a place that enables us to become very sensitive. And sometimes it doesn't always work out in the practical, you know, state of play that we live in here. It doesn't always work out. But as long as somebody else is doing something that inspires me, and then I'll be okay, you know. And that's why I encourage others. You know, I mean, look, sometimes when you go to the studio and you can't do anything, and you sit down and you put your head in your hands and you think, whatever made me believe I could write music? Who told me? What an evil person, you know. How cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I'm looking at this bit of rubbish I've just made, and, you know, and so sometimes I go into the house and I might, you know, I know it sounds a bit pretentious, but it's the truth, you know. I might pick up some of my books and just start reading my books and reading some of my poetry, and, you know, not that I've written my favorite poets, and, you know, I feel better. And sometimes I look at the simplicity of their work, or I put on something like my favorite sound score for film, I don't know if you're familiar with it, is Andrei Rublev, which is a Tchaikovsky film. And the music is so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. And I recommend this and prescribe it for all composers who are suffering from, you know, depression, or, you know, artistic depression. Because when you listen, it's one voice and it's some drones and it's a few bells, and it's one of the most exquisite things you'll ever hear. And you're suddenly restored and you think, oh, yeah, I can do this. I can do this,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's really important that we make available these works that aren't, you know, manufactured by, you know, very sophisticated machinery, that they're simply human beings communicating with the instruments that are at hand. Okay, so what else do you want to know?
Okay. Well, what projects are you currently working on?
At the moment I'm working with, well, I don't know. I've become a kind of, you know, confetti at the moment. I don't really know. I'm trying to work on the Muhammad Ali movie for Michael Mann, but I don't know whether I'm going to achieve anything with that. We keep writing things, and it's a very tricky one. I don't think anybody really knows how it's going to be until it's almost finished, you know. Mm. But we're trying, and I love to do that without any promise at the end, because I feel, you know, as I explained to somebody else, not to sound too eccentric, but I love that feeling of being cut loose and sort of airborne and having no bits of paper and just writing because of the love of what you do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing with cinema nowadays I find a little scary, is that, you know, and everybody wants to tie everything up before you're meant to dream. And how can you dream when you're tied up, you know?
Exactly.
It's really difficult. So I love working with Michael, because now we've got the kind of relationship that we just don't, you know, I just write. And if he doesn't use it, it doesn't matter, because I can use it for something else. I can release it as a record.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, you know, the challenge of that. And there's also another thing that never happened that, you know, or not to say the Michael Mann, because it's very much happening, but is Russell Crowe was going to direct something for a book. And I really love the book, and I'm still writing for that because I'm totally inspired by it. And I don't care whether it doesn't happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to do this now. I feel like for the last 3 years, it's been so strong and so very much different to how I've worked for the last 20 years, you know, and I need to rebuild certain fragilities within myself and my work that don't have deadlines. And there is a period of nourishment that, you know, we all need to go through. And when we do these kinds of Hollywood films, I say to anyone that is, you know, wanting to go into that area, just to always learn to give yourself some space. You know, it isn't necessary to take every single project. I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get scared and, oh, but we have to take it because maybe we're not going to be offered again and we'll never get it offered again. And, you know, have faith. There's always going to be some work, you know, but you're not going to be able to do every project if you burn yourself out. And it's very easy to burn yourself out in that work because you're working sometimes 40-hour shifts.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Lisa. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And
okay.
And what I'll say this is that your work has inspired me, and I hope it continues to inspire others.
Good man, and you're in a good position there, and, you know, keep up the good work because, you know, as long as you keep broadening your library and don't stick to just commercial things, really dig around, you know, and find some of the little works that really, because you're in the one position that you can share those with people, you know, without radio stations. Now, it's becoming increasingly more difficult for people to find these unusual works. Okay.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much, Lisa. This will be the highlight of, I think, of my month, if not my year.
Thank you. You're sweet. I better go back to work now.
All right, then.